Oh, jam! Hello again, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on twitch.tv/themanapool. Also on mtgcast.com, but whatever. I am Chewy. You know that because, one, I'm wearing the Chewbacca t-shirt, and two, it says it right there. Look at that. Chewy.
It's true.
It's weird how that works.
Way down over there.
Yeah. Now, that guy over there, see, it says right there, that's Squee.
It's true.
And then that guy way over there, you see, it says below him, that's Clues. Clues, you have to say something for the audio people.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was pointing, and I was trying very hard to look at the mirroring of the video in the thing. The stuff. Hello, I'm Clues.
He is.
Of Borg.
I'm Clues of Borg. That is true. And hold on. I just have to check something. Stand by. Okay. I am Clues, and it's a pleasure to meet you. I had to roll to find out if it was. No, nothing.
I get you. I'm just like.
Okay. All right.
All right. Was not ready is where I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah. Nope.
That was not one of the scenarios I'd envisioned. So well played. You've successfully become sentient. You are no longer a predictable life form.
As was predicted.
Ah, never mind then. Okay, welcome then to Monday Night Magic, where we might talk about magic.
Stark Maximum, I am offended by the question you have asked in the chat. Of course I have. I've been playing since middle school. Although I haven't played in the past couple of years.
That question was, have you ever actually played D&D?
Yes, absolutely. We once dropped a waterfall on Strahd von Zorovich. It was great.
Back before it was cool.
Okay, then. So, there's a lot of stuff going on this week, so we're going to try to ease up on the frivolity and get to it.
Yes.
We expect to fail.
Not hard, but yes, we do. So, the big news this weekend was, of course, the Mythic Championship, or Mythic Championship 1. And I have a question about that. So they kept referring to it as Mythic Championship 1, right?
Yeah.
Is that... But the hashtag is 2019 MC1.
Yeah.
So here's my question. How many Mythic Championships are there this year? There are four, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, they're going to be six and they canceled two. Okay, so does that mean that the first one next year, is that going to be Mythic Championship 5? Or is that going to be 2020 Mythic Championship 1?
It'll be 2021. Not 2021, but 2021.
I like that small pause there that Silence Truncation will eat and it won't make any sense, but... Okay.
Mythic Championship 1 is whichever Mythic Championship the president is currently participating in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, Stark. My wife just texted me to remind me that she once, while we were playing D&D, used a kobold as a club.
I respect
that.
This
is true. This happened. Sorry, where were we? Mythic Championship 1. Yes.
Okay, then. So that's that was my question earlier today, just out of the blue, is, wait, is this going to be, like, because the original Pro Tours way back at the beginning were just Pro Tour 1, 2, 3, 4, weren't they?
That was before my time.
I seem to remember that.
I came in when they were Pro Tour Name of City, which they are in.
Which was the vast majority of the time. And then they switched to Pro Tour... most recent set release, but now we're to Mythic Championship number.
Yeah.
But again, I don't actually know, because they haven't said, I don't think, how that's going to work.
I think the branding on all of this is floating around, but based on the trend that they've done here, next year its name will be Mythic Championship 2020 Mythic. And then it will be Mythic Championship 2020 Mythic Mythic for the second one. And they'll just keep adding the word mythic.
Eventually it will be the foil championship and then the foil mythic championship.
premium.
Right.
Buy a box promo.
It'll be the buy a box foil mythic championship.
Now with 30% more curling.
Then it will be the from the vault championship.
No, they don't do those anymore.
See, I like the way I was asking a serious question and these two jackasses have run off with it.
I mean, if there's no real answer, this is what we're going to do for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't actually have an answer, so...
All right, fair enough. So let's get to it. The Mythic Championship had a lot of stuff going on. First off, this is Brian David Marshall's final tournament as member of the coverage team.
Which is a very significant shift based on the history of Magic.
It is.
Well, I mean, since he's been there since the first one.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, this is kind of a big deal.
So.
But
do we have a link to his official announcement of his retirement?
Not handy, no.
Okay. Well, the weird thing about it was, you know, social media being what social media was, you tend to not actually see things in order because, you know, you were away and you come back to your phone and you bring up Twitter and you're like, boy, I sure am going to miss BDM. And you're like, wait, hold it. What happened to BDM? Is he okay? And then you scroll, scroll, scroll. And there's all these people saying how much they love him. And you're like, scroll, scroll. Oh, he's fine.
He's just got a new job.
He's just going to a new job and isn't going to have the time to devote to this anymore. So he's stepping away.
I guess I was lucky that I saw that first. So
yeah, I didn't. So.
Yeah, we don't actually know. I don't think he said what his new job is.
No, he did not.
So we don't know yet, but it's something that he is very excited about. And BDM is not like, you know, a 20-year-old young person who gets excited about things all the time. And he's really excited about it. So that's awesome. And I'm really happy for him. And I'm glad that he's got something that he's passionate about. So passionate about that he's willing to back away from Magic coverage, which has, again, he's been there for like all of them. So
it's been a major part of his life.
And he's been a major part of Magic.
Yes, that's what I was about to say, that I do want to say a great big thank you for everything he's done for the game over the years. Not that I think that he's listening, but just in case.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he's not, but that's not the point.
No.
I have met and spoken to, just in those couple years that I was going to GPs, several Magic personalities, some of which I immediately despised based on my interaction with them, some of which... I immediately had all the much more respect for based on our short interaction. And BDM definitely falls into that latter category. He was just friendly and open. And yeah, he talked to me like he'd known me for years. In fact, he just met me right then.
Yeah, and he's got a charisma to him.
Yeah, and he's just like, he's just a nice guy. And you really feel that speaking to him, so... Yeah. This is very sad, but hopefully whatever he's got going is will be just as good to him and for him. Right?
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's all the sad news from the Pro Tour. No, the Mythic Championship. You know, this whole rebranding thing, I have to say there is one thing that I'm not real big on the rebranding, and that's the retconning all of the previous Pro Tours to be Mythic Championships.
That doesn't work.
I see what they've done there. I don't care for it.
Yeah.
I think that if you're going to do that, then you can't call this one one.
Yeah, you can't say this is the first Mythic Championship ever, because... And I saw... I think it was Kai, actually, was ribbing someone about this on Twitter, and I was like... Well, one, he's being a jackass, and he was. But two, he's got a point. Like, you can't say that such and such has won, you know, three Mythic Championships, and this is the first Mythic Championship ever. You just can't.
You don't get to do both.
Yeah.
Like, you can call this the first Mythic Championship and call those, you know, Pro Tours, or you can, if you're going to call them all that, then you need to figure out what number this is and start using it. But... This is like when everyone's comic book collection in the 90s had six number ones of the same series. Because they just kept redoing numbers, and it just confused people.
I've got a box of them right there.
I think I own three different Thor number ones.
I have so many number one Spider-Man variations that all came out within 6 months. Like, it's ridiculous. But yeah, that's kind of the feeling I get here. Like, I understand that anyone else, like in any other franchise, they would refer to those using a word like legacy, but they've already used that, so they can't. So instead, they're just doing two things at once, which are very clearly not talking to each other, and it's just going to be confusing, because the fact of the matter is, if I need to see how someone did at a tournament 3 years ago, I'm not going to search for Mythic Championship 2016-2. Like, I'm going to look up the name that was used at the time, because that's what every article is going to refer to it as. They're not going back and updating all of those that anyone's ever written about it. It doesn't work that way. But in the meanwhile, I think we just have to roll with what they're doing going forward, and we'll just roll our eyes whenever they mention something from before.
Pretty much, yeah. That was just a small side rant. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's a valid point. Like, that's a communication fail. And they have enough of those going on that we don't just let them go. Like, you get a few passes, but after a while, you have to actually chart all of the symptoms before you can really diagnose the thing. So.
All right. Well, let's go to it then.
Yeah.
So, the Mythic Championship one that was in Cleveland, because I don't think it's Mythic Championship Cleveland.
Right.
I said it's still very new, so yep. I'm still learning, but...
MC1.
Yeah, so MC1, boom, had a lot of firsts.
Yeah.
Not only was it the first ever Mythic Championship, but we had Autumn Burchett win the whole thing. Now, Autumn is the first English person, like person from England, to win I want to say Pro Tour level event, but that's, so you know what I mean, but that's not on brand anymore. So like, yeah. this level of event, there we go. This Mythic Championship starts at Big Magic Shindig. There we go.
Yes.
There we are.
The first person from England to win, which, really? Huh.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, that caught me off guard. I was like, huh?
I was not aware.
Also, the first trans non-binary person to win a Big Magic Shindig. Damn it, Stark, that's in my head now.
Stark, did you just name the episode? I blame you.
Okay, yeah, I'll just go add that to the show.
Yeah, go add that to the link, would you please?
That seems pretty inevitable.
Also, oh yeah, JD Phoenix pointed out Craig Jones lost in the finals after the Big Lightning Helix, because the Big Lightning Helix was the semifinals, right? It was either the semis or the corners. It wasn't the whole thing.
It wasn't the finals.
Yeah, the Lightning Helix turned around the world. It's weird. You could just say the Lightning Helix play, yeah, and people know what you're talking about if they were around.
There are certain cards that have those stories around them, and they're usually the ones that have dramatic moments where it doesn't just whiff and go away forever.
Yeah. Okay, he said that was the semis, yeah. And I think, like, Craig is the only person I could think of off the top of my head who was English who made it that far, but also I don't remember that sort of thing, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of big firsts for the first Mythic Championship one, and it was, I actually watched, let's see, I watched 1.5 of the quarters and 1 of the semis and the finals. I didn't watch all the finals, though, because I had to go do something, but I came back and watched the last, like, game and a half. And yeah. I was impressed. Autumn I can't say that on the show. Autumn kicked the hell out of people. like, damn. They had the Mono Blue Tempo deck that we've talked about on this show. Clues hates it, but it's essentially the blue version of Goblins, which replaces Burn with counterspells, and that's why Clues made that sound he just made. Could you do it again for me, Clues? That's the one.
Oh, man, it's like someone just put the brakes on the bus. Steve, get off. This is your chance.
Steve, this is your stop, buddy. This is your stop.
But, yeah, watching Autumn play this Mono Blue Tempo deck, and I have to say, in the semifinals, I was rooting against them. I was rooting for Reed, because Reed Duke had made... This was his fourth top eight for Big Magic Shindigs. I think that's right. Clues, you had the... you had the top stories open somewhere. Was that right, or did you close it?
I don't remember seeing that number. Stand by.
Okay, hang on. We'll go to... Ah, here we go. Top eight players. This will say. Yeah, this top eight... Just top eight was ridiculous, by the way. Yeah, three previous Pro Tour top eight. So this was his fourth. And he was playing the same Mono Blue Tempo deck, so it was a mirror. And I was on the edge of my seat pulling for Reed because of that reason. Because if he wins, he has never made it to the semis of a Pro Tour, much less won. So, like, I was rooting for him. But then after Autumn just... And he won the first game, like, for free. Because he got the nut draw. He's like... And he won. And then after that, it was a clinic on how to beat Reed Duke with a deck in a mirror. So... It was a hell of a match, and so I was on board at that point. I was like, well, all right, now Autumn's got to win. And then Autumn won, spoilers. Because I was also pulling for LSV, who, again,
my
is on
favorite
a,
pro player.
Understandably so, who's on a ridiculous run of top eights here in recent years. And he also didn't make it to the finals. So I was like, well, now we got to pull for Autumn. And it was a hell of a match. At least it was a hell of a last game and a half, which is, like I said, I got home in time to turn it back on.
Like, blue mirror matches can often be miserable to experience. So,
yeah, but because they were tempo decks and not like hard control decks, they weren't miserable to watch.
Right.
It was more... well, enlightening. Actually.
They were the magicest blues will ever acknowledge blue can be.
Exactly. So yeah, but it was a hell of a game, a hell of a top eight, a hell of a everything. And
have we actually run through the full top eight yet?
No, actually, I was just getting to that.
All right, fair.
So, yes, here we go. In no particular order, I don't think. Yeah, these are in no particular order.
These don't go in order.
Do we know where everyone finished? Do we have that somewhere?
Yeah,
handy?
Well, I can give you that information as we go.
Okay, yeah, do that for me.
If you'd like. I'll try and cipher from this this here top eight bracket. So, first place was, obviously, Autumn Burchett.
Yeah, with
Mono Blue Tempo.
Mono Blue Tempo.
We've already talked about. Defeating Yoshihiko Ikawa. Who
was
on
Esper Control.
There we go.
Yep, yep.
Then in third place by standing should be Reed Duke.
Who was also on the Mono... excuse me, the Mono Blue Tempo deck.
Followed by LSV.
And LSV, where the hell is LSV? He's down here. There we go. He was on the Is It Phoenix deck, which was entertaining to watch.
So a pretty awesome top four that you had there.
Yeah, that top four is kind of ridiculous.
Fifth place, Marcio Carvalho.
Yeah, Marcio was playing the Azorius aggro deck, which is Mono White. It's White Weenie, with this one, in this case, is white weenie with some blue in the board, it looks like.
Sixth place should be Michael Bondi.
Yeah, Michael Bondi was on Simic. Here it is. And there was an interesting thing that happened. I actually had to hit Twitter and ask about this. I noticed during Bondi's game, or games, that any time that he shuffled his deck, he would shuffle, hand it to his opponent would shuffle, and then his opponent would put it down, and a judge would just reach over and pick it up. An arm from off camera would just reach over and pick it up. And I'm like, what? And then it would get put back. I'm like, what? And after a couple of camera changes, I saw that it was a judge who picked it up and was shuffling. I'm like, why? And it turns out it's because, I asked Ricky Hayashi this, someone else answered and Ricky confirmed, it's because he was using the actual Nexus of Fate cards in the deck rather than proxies, which are allowed in tournaments.
And it's also my understanding that he was using those because when on camera, they want you to use the regular cards, not the proxies if possible.
Right, which exactly was what I was about to say. So, yeah. And you know, Nexus of Fate is only available in foil, so it has the curling issue, which apparently we're just never going to worry about that. But that is why. So that the last hands that are on it is an impartial judge, because it is possible, because of the difference in those key cards, to consciously or subconsciously do something resembling deck manipulation, both for you and your opponent. And I went, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
But that's the cost of wanting them to play the real cards on camera? You think they would just, like, print out better-looking proxies and not have to have the shuffle judge on hand, but...
Yeah.
Whatever. But then...
But, yeah, how would they... They'd have to know what cards they would need to do that with ahead of time to actually print something usable.
I think it would just be this one, because it's the only standard legal card that is only available in foil, isn't it?
Well, it's the only one that's played, yeah.
Yeah.
The other Buy
a Box promos. Oh, yeah, like not counting the Planeswalker pack things.
Well, the other Buy a Box promos, too. But you're not going to see Firesong and Sunspeaker in it.
Right. You are correct.
So,
I'm
yeah.
sorry. We were up to, that was sixth place. We're up to seventh place.
That was Michael Bondi, yeah.
Julien Berthaud.
Julien Berthaud was playing also Mono Blue Tempo.
Yep.
That's what, seventh?
That was seventh place. Yeah. And yes. In eighth place, Alex Majalton?
I can hear Rich Hagen saying it. It's like Majalton.
Yeah, close enough.
Like yeah. And he's playing Gruul Aggro, which is actually mono red aggro with green in the board.
Yeah.
So, once again, let's look at this. What's the latest block right now? Well, we don't do blocks anymore, but you know what I mean. What's the latest block, you guys?
The newest Ravnica one?
Yeah, so we're in Ravnica right now. We've had two Ravnica worlds, Ravnica sets, where mana is essentially perfect, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Look at this. We have mono blue, two color. Mono blue, essentially mono white. Mono blue, three color. Oh, okay. Essentially mono red, two color.
Yeah. Typically, you're looking at 3 to 4 colors a deck with maybe a splash of the fifth one when you're sufficiently Ravnica'd. So, this is noteworthy.
Yeah. I also really like that this mono blue tempo deck is relatively budget friendly and is not miserable to watch or play against. I'm sure.
Yeah.
So every deck is miserable to play against when you lose to it a lot.
Yeah.
So before we hear all the, well, I think it's shut up. No, we're not talking about you specifically. We're talking about on the whole, it's not miserable to watch or play against. It involves.
This isn't. Not a bathroom break deck.
Yeah, it involves sticking a one drop and then putting Curious Obsession on it when you have mana to protect it, and then building up card advantage and using that to crush your opponent with these little dudes and Tempest Djinn. Like, that's it. And then you've got your dive down and counter spells to protect your little dude that's got Curious Obsession. And then eventually you go Terramander, swing for a million, or Tempest Djinn, you know, whichever.
Yeah.
Oh, Siren Storm Tamer is also another one drop that you can then sacrifice for protection. And you've got the Merfolk Trickster, which is, hey, get that out of the way so I can kill your face. Like, it's really solid. And it's not hard control. Like, if you draw go with this deck, it's not because that's your game plan. It's because you're being strategical right now, or you don't have anything to do. So, yeah. I think, and even clues might agree, as far as mono blue decks go, this is fairly... No, this is about the least offensive you can get.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
You might be able to say, like, Merfolk is slightly more creature-based and hit you in the face.
They got the pokey stick. I do not like the pokey stick.
What's this? Wait, which one's the pokey stick?
Jite.
Well, if you're playing in those formats, yeah, okay, sure.
I think, too, we just meant the archetype of blue creatures attack.
Okay, yeah. Fair.
They are the actual blue version of goblins. This is just what we have. This is like fairies back in the day, but less oppressive.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did I just... I just had a small reaction to fairies.
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't think there's a patch for that. I think you just wait for it to run its course and then a different set comes out and they go away.
Probably, yeah. So, was that...
That was our top eight.
Okay, so we've got Autumn, some other stuff, yeah, some other stuff, Mono Blue, yup, and BDM leaving. Okay.
Well, we got I think we've covered the event.
So we have to say this as a tale of personal growth, all right? I'm going to share something with you guys that I want to share with you guys to see how I have changed over the years, and maybe any of you out there that think along the same lines might as well. So way back, and these guys can verify this because it was in the like pre-show for this very show before we had Odds and Ends. When I think it was it Melissa DeTorio that made a top eight of a Pro Tour?
Probably what you're referencing, yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the thing that happened. We had a lot of, you know, oh my god, look, a woman made the top eight of this Pro Tour. And I'm like, why? And this was me trying to be... I don't know the word I would want to use, but this is me not hating women or saying or any of that. This is me trying to normalize it, saying, why do we have to point out that she's a woman? Can't we just say she's an excellent Magic player? And these guys were like, because reasons. And over the year since then, I have learned that you have to point these things out because representation matters. It didn't matter to me personally that Melissa DeTorio was a woman, because it just didn't. She's an excellent Magic player. Hey, look, she did really well. That's awesome. But to women which I'm not, who look at Magic as that game that boys play and don't, you know, give me crap for trying to play, which is still fairly common, unfortunately, Melissa making the top eight was a huge deal. And Autumn doing well, taking the whole thing down, in fact, at this Mythic Championship, is huge for trans people and non-binary people. Huge! Massively huge! You could tell from the reactions on social media. It's massive. It's massive. And I still, earlier today, I was seeing responses of, why do we have to focus so much on the fact that it's, oh my God, shut up. Because I used to be where you are, and I was wrong, and so are you. You guys want to jump in here at all?
No, yeah, no, I just didn't want to cut you off.
No, go right ahead.
Another thing to really, really emphasize on that is that it's important for people who feel like they might be an outsider in the community or like they are the special exception in this environment to see examples of excellence. But it's also really important for those same people that Chewy just mentioned to see these people doing really well, because I don't know a single woman who's played Magic and not at some point at a store gotten the impression that at least one person they played that night thought they were going to be an easy win. Whether or not they won or lost, that was a thing. And seeing women and seeing people of really any classification other than what some people unfortunately think of as the default, you know, white male doing well, will slowly erode those views that these people have. So it's nice to see. And I would also just like to comment that, yeah, I was expecting a lot of the typical terrible community behavior on social media following this. So I was kind of dreading going to Twitter. And by and large, the feedback has been positive. Super overwhelmingly positive. And I actually went through the hashtag. I didn't just go over my feed because honestly, like, I don't follow people when they show that kind of behavior. I don't want to reward it. But also, like, I dug through and the vast majority of people were open and supportive. I've been seeing, you know, the preferred pronouns in use, which is an extra step and something else that needs to become more normalized for people to feel more welcome in the environment. And overall, I've been very happy with the community and I appreciate that we're banding together and celebrating it as a win for. It's a win for everyone, but it's especially a win for people who might have felt like they weren't included before. So I'm happy to see that all around.
Yeah.
Yep. And I will just add, I mean, I mostly just want to echo their comments, but I will just add that, you know, a lot of people like to pretend that it doesn't matter who you are when you play Magic. It's just how you play the game. A lot of people like to pretend that. Most of the people who like to pretend that are straight white men in their late teens to mid-20s. And if you are, in fact, a straight white male in your mid-teens to late-20s, I'm sure it doesn't matter who you are when you play. But for people who aren't from that group, who are in the minority, who aren't well-represented, who go to tournaments and see almost no one who is like them at that tournament, it does matter. And until such time as, you know, it doesn't actually matter. Yeah, it's important to keep pointing these things out, to realize that whoever you are, whatever your background, you can play Magic. I'm not going to lie. You are going to face hurdles from some, unfortunately, vocal minority of the community. But just know that, you know, when we see these successes, it's just proof that you too can succeed. And like I said, I'm not saying it's going to be necessarily easy, but it's important to point these things out. And so it was great to see.
And it's important for the rest of us to celebrate when these things happen and make people feel welcome.
Oh, and another important thing to point out to all of those who are out there who aren't whoever it is who, you know, did really well. Just because someone who's not like you won doesn't make the game any worse. In fact, it makes it better.
It's true. Did you know that the next Marvel superhero movie, the lead is a woman?
Whoa.
Yeah, some people can't handle that. And those same people can't handle that Autumn, a non-binary person, won. And I've seen lots of people who are like, they just got lucky. Well, okay, most of them say, she just got lucky. And then when someone corrects them, they go, oh. But I have not seen any, he just got lucky. Which is, sadly, a big step for those douchebags.
Yeah. But it is a low bar, but it is progress.
It is, yeah. But I've seen a lot of people say, well, they just got lucky. And yeah, everyone in the top eight got lucky. That's how you get to the top eight.
Yeah. There's a lot of luck involved in this game.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of skill as well, because there are people who top eight pretty regularly. But yeah. if you look at any given top eight, there's a great deal of luck that gets you there.
Well, yeah. Skill and magic is the ability to capitalize on your good luck while minimizing the damage of your bad luck. And yes. Then running well enough that you get there, better than others.
Yeah, someone, right. I forget who, pointed out that it's weird how the more I practice, the more lucky I become. And that's how it works. Autumn has been playing this deck for a long time, and Reed picked it up last week. And it was a pretty close match. So, but Autumn won. Hey.
Yeah. So kudos to everyone involved in the top eight, everyone who's successful at the event, and everyone who got there to start with, because it's better than I could do. This is not a show up and sign up event. So
that's true. Well done. You were one round away. Well, two rounds away.
Oh,
from
two rounds away a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, I was three rounds away from making it once, but Squee had to one-up me.
I mean, it was important. But neither one of us is like Clues, who actually almost DQ'd Mike.
That's like, true.
When it comes to almost, Clues is still winning. I've never even tried to DQ Mike.
I did, but he wasn't playing Magic at the time, so it didn't really work.
That makes it harder. Got to enroll him in the event and then DQ him, right? Like, Clues could do that at one point, too.
Yeah. Like
I could. Not anymore.
Like, the last time Mike and I hung out, I didn't DQ him, but we did go to Coldstone.
That's an upgrade.
Which, yeah.
I think that's better than DQing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's a big upgrade.
But anyway. But, yeah. I just had to point all that out. I'm fairly certain anyone listening to this, that's the worst that you're going to do. Is, how come we have to point it out? Well, you do. Just trust me on this. I used to think like you. I kind of doubt anyone listening to this is of the further worst douchebag variety. So I appreciate you guys listening and watching. Yeah.
But maybe if hearing Chewy talk about his path there and the arguments that we've made makes it easier for you to have these conversations with other people, it's still worthwhile, because we're all going to have to grow.
Yes.
And that's
one to grow on.
And if someone out there is really upset about this, well, we all have to grow around them until they get with the program or acknowledge that they're defeated, both of which could be satisfying.
Yeah.
So.
Also, apologies for pulling weird faces when I passed it off over to Bill earlier. When I uncrossed my legs, I had a massive cramp in this thigh. I wasn't, and I don't think I made any noise, but it was bad. So
I was hoping it was just my psychic powers finally coming in.
No, unless your psychic powers are trying to give me a cramp.
Look, you don't know what I use them for. I don't even have them yet.
Very strange psychic powers.
Very, very limited power set.
Give Chewie leg cramps. No! Anyway, so that's not
I'm
the
glad
only
you stream
magic.
So I can practice.
That's not the only magic that was played this weekend.
No.
There was also a normal Magic Fest going on outside of the Mythic Championship, where there was Grand Prix Cleveland.
Yes.
But this is this was limited.
Yep.
1,229
people playing limited.
It's pretty good, considering there were almost 500 right over there playing in the Mythic Championship. That's pretty good. That's a lot of magic.
Yeah.
Damn. So let's see, who won? Alan Wu won, defeating Andrew Watts in the finals. And then I had hiccups.
You okay there, bud?
True, I heard it.
So that's first and second. Okay, let me see. Wait, no, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Okay.
Okay, so then in third, we should have Andrew Watts. No, he came in.
No, because
no, he came in second.
Yeah. Okay, so in third, we should have Roshan Epen.
Yes.
Yes.
And then Max Fife in fourth.
Yes.
Okay. And then, if I'm reading this properly, Riku Kumagai.
Yes.
And then, Hoshin Wang.
Yes.
Hang on. Stay on target. Meyer in next place.
Seventh.
Yes.
Was that seventh?
Yes. Oh, and?
Yeah. And then last place, Joshua Kim in eighth.
Yes.
He can be taught.
Nice work.
That's still way too much pain in the ass when they could just give us a list.
It's easier. It's easier when they highlight the winners' names.
That is true. That's why I thought Andrew Watts was in third.
Yeah.
Because he's not highlighted.
Yeah.
But hey, they were all playing decks that contained a minimum of 40 cards.
Yeah, they were.
That's a good number. And the right format to do it in. Doesn't work out in the other ones.
Yeah, I think you get asked to not play anymore if you try that, right?
I mean, probably.
Probably.
You get a whole bunch of basic lands and a warning, right, Clues?
Sure.
Or is it a whole bunch of basic lands and a match loss?
I mean, I
don't know anymore. I think it is Forced Mulligan now. I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a knife fight in a phone booth. And since we can't find a phone booth, there have been no victims yet.
Okay. Last I checked, there were no infractions that resulted in a knife fight. There were infractions that resulted from a knife fight, but not that resulted in a knife fight.
Okay, so when you say from a knife fight, does that mean both people pulled out a knife?
Yes. In
Do we
this
have
case,
like a Dundee scenario here?
At least one of them had a knife.
Okay.
Even if the others was not a knife.
I mean, I would be really worried if it were like an American event and someone actually brought a gun to this knife fight infraction.
Look, let's just stop bringing weapons to Magic tournaments. How about that?
I agree.
Okay.
Unless
Our
you're
only
kidding.
Weapons are lightning bolt.
Look, I zoned out for half a second, and what in the hell happened? Okay.
It's totally cool, man. It's totally cool.
Let's talk about something else. So, this was announced... I think this was Tuesday last week, Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah, this was Tuesday right after we got done. We got more information about the European early sale because, as we said, in the European region, they're going to be able to sell War of the Sparks starting at the pre-release. But not only at the pre-release, that's when it's going to go on sale. Originally, we thought it would be on sale at the pre-release, like the pre-order pickup. You could sell it at the pre-release, but then on Monday you had to wait till the next... No, it just goes on sale at the pre-release.
Yeah.
And continues on. That is the release date for the European region. So, huh. All
right,
and the why is pretty obvious, because we want to know how much money we're not making right now instead of next week. Like... There's really no other reason for this, right?
Yeah, you know, if you think about how we got to where we are now, right? So once upon a time, before my time, pre-releases were like a big regional thing. It's not like the kind of thing that your local store necessarily had a pre-release, right? You could they were a big thing that you went
to. They covered a very large area and were typically run in flights rather than just there was one.
Yeah. And so back then you had a pre-release, you would go and you would do that thing. And then the next week you would go to your local game store and you would play now that the set has been released. And that's when you'd buy your stuff. But then they shifted that and it became pre-releases were happening at your local game store, and your local game store literally had a case of it. It's right there, but they can't sell it to you because they can't yet.
Yeah.
And then they naturally went, well, wait a minute. What if we try and encourage people to do, like, pre-orders? That'll help game stores. So let's do pre-orders. You can pick those up that weekend. Yeah. But not if you miss that weekend. You still have to wait. You showed up on Monday? Sorry. Sorry, your box is right here. It's got a post-it with your name on it. You've already paid for it, but I literally can't give it to you. Come back on Friday.
Treat date.
And now they're like, well, you know, what if? What if, since it's there, what if we just let you sell it? And so I think the idea of a separate pre-release and release is just not going to exist anymore. I think the pre-release is just going to be it. I think that's where we're headed.
But that's not
where
we
are now. It's not where we are now, but it's, I think that's where we're headed.
Yeah. And that won't be a, eventually that won't be a pre-release. It'll just be the,
it'll just be the release tournament.
It'll be, here's your release tournament or your first look tournament or whatever they want to brand it as. But it will no longer be pre because it is the release.
Yes.
But
in
again,
fact,
this is,
I think,
all speculation, but it's, yes, fairly logical speculation.
Yeah. The logic we have right now is they're testing a thing. We'll see how it goes. Don't be surprised if, you know, 6 months from now, they're like, well, we tested it. It went great. Here we are.
When that day comes, the Loading Ready Run pre-release will be the only pre-release. Is my assumption.
So, that's really it. This is all just bookkeeping here. Like, no, the global release date is still May 3rd, but these,
yeah,
people can,
right,
sell it early. Blah.
Legality is still based on the normal rules. Like,
yeah,
no surprises there.
And so there you go. That's that. But don't go to your local game store in, I don't know, Iowa. Are we allowing
where?
Iowa? Is that, yeah, okay, never mind.
What?
Ohio? Nope, that's another one.
No.
Montana.
Yeah.
That one's long enough?
I mean, it's long enough. It's just also a tiny tune.
Okay.
But I respect that more.
Fair. Don't go to your local game store in Montana and go, oh, but Wizards totally said you guys can sell this on April the 27th. No. No, they can't.
Yeah.
They're not in Europe.
Oh, now, Gloppy Rocks made a good point here. She said, what they could maybe do is have it still be pre to give LGSs a leg up on the big box stores. That would be ideal, is to have it be the pre-release.
That would be a nice scenario.
Do what?
I think that would be a nice scenario.
It would.
Yeah, just, so wait, before you start throwing off on it, which we're about to, the idea would be to make it a pre-release, but have local game stores able to sell it, but still have the release date for big box stores be the following week, just to give LGSs that week window. Unfortunately,
I would love that.
That is brilliant, and it would be awesome if they did it, but Wizards hasn't had the best track record of doing things like that here lately.
No, they have not.
So, yeah, if they do, I will happily admit that I was wrong and be like, yay!
I'll be happy that you're wrong if they do that, too.
Yeah, hey.
Look, it's not about you.
In fact, I was sent something by a mutual acquaintance, speaking of WotC doing things that you're kind of like, huh? I believe, and I cannot prove this, but this is just what I believe, so bear in mind, I'm kind of going off a little off-label here. I believe that up until now, LGSs got D&D books early, like before they would go to, like, you know, your Amazons and your big box retailers. They have now announced a unified release date for D&D books across all channels. So that means that your local game store will not get them early anymore.
Are there D&D books at, like, Walmart?
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I know they're,
but
at the Amazon.
They do go to, like, Barnes & Noble and stuff. And yeah, that's probably the more close equivalent for that.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah.
If you've still seen these bookstores, then you may find them there.
Okay. So there you go. That was just the thing that was announced last week, right after we recorded Monday Night Magic, of course.
Yeah.
So, okay, what's next? A couple days after that, we got this! Announcing Core Set 2020 and Commander 2019.
Yay!
I like
already made a weird thing.
So, yeah, it says Corset 2020 will come out July 12th.
Yes.
Which makes sense. This is the next set after War of the Spark.
Yeah.
And then Commander 2019 will come out on August 23rd.
Okay, so let me just get this straight. August 23rd. Okay, that's 2019. Okay, so July the 12th, Corset 2020. July the 12th of 2019, Corset 2020 comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then a month after that, August 24th, 2019, Commander 2019 comes out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Excellent. They are definitely consistent with those years that are attached to those products. Fantastic. Thank you.
I guess we should explain why they do that, huh?
Yeah,
it's,
well,
it's sort of like
it's been a few years, so we probably need to.
Fair.
So the reason they put the year to come and the core set name is because when they sell these things in big box stores, like your Targets and your Walmarts and whatnot, they're going to continue to sell that product for a year until the next one with a number in it comes out. And because of that, the stores are going to be less likely to pick up a product with an old year name on it. So rather than dealing with a drop off in the second half of the second half of this product's life, they're going to put the 2020 out and roll with it. Now, when it comes to supplemental products like Commander and the like, they're not going to put the year name in it. We're just going to know that it's the 2019 one. Like, I don't think they're going to say 2019 on the box. They usually just go Commander and then they put their big fancy card in it. And they tell you that it's got all of these amazing things in it and all that. Like, they don't usually put the label on it. Like, we didn't have Commander the Wedge colors and Commander the Shard colors. And all that. It was just Commander. It's just what they wrote on it.
Yeah.
So that's that where I think. Yeah.
I just
you'll notice in the logo, they don't say 2019. Like, on the screen that she was just showing. It just says Commander.
Yeah, yeah. Take a look.
So.
That. Yeah, like here. I pulled it up on Google Images, and yeah, it just says Magic the Gathering Commander and the name of the deck.
Yeah. So, like, that's the difference.
Yeah.
They have to put the year on the core set because that's actually in the core set's name. So they're going to go next year to avoid getting a hit on sales when people are looking to buy the stuff and pick up, you know, like the post-holiday boxes and all that, too. So they used to do this back through, like, 2015. And then it stopped being a thing when they went over to doing Origins and they just stopped doing core sets. But now this is where we live. Yeah. So
if you're new to Magic, newer to Magic, then hi, welcome. Thank you for listening. And two, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a thing for a long time, but there were a few years off in the middle, so.
Yeah. At least it's less confusing than 9th edition, which came out in like the 17th year of the game.
Yeah, followed by 10th edition. Followed by Magic 2010 or M10.
Right.
So the next
yes, which was
the next core
edition.
Set after 10th edition was M10, which,
That was confusing. I was there and that was confusing. I think mentally I referred to 10th edition just as Magic X, and that made it a little easier to parse.
A little bit, yeah.
It's but like anyway. That sci-fi movie, Jason 10.
Oh, yeah. That's on...
With the Super Shredder.
I think that's on Netflix now.
Don't watch it.
Why not?
Because it's got Super Shredder in it, and it's not the right movie with Super Shredder in it.
Except the right movie with Super Shredder in it, Super Shredder was really bad.
Look, you can only be so powerful next to Vanilla Ice. What do you want from him?
Okay, yeah, that's... I see what you did there.
Go, Ninja. Yeah. Go, Ninja. Go.
Go, go, go. Speaking of going, let's move on.
Yes.
Yeah. This is more big news. Okay, here we go. Yeah.
This one is, yes.
Yeah, so... It's so rare that we're talking about the next Pro Tour before this Pro Tour happens that I got confused.
Yeah.
So,
you and me both, buddy.
Yeah, so now they were telling us what the format for... GP London was, and then a few days later they told us what the format for Mythic Championship 1 in Cleveland was. And I was like, oh, they're not using the new cards. And I went, wait, no, this is the one that's like in a couple weeks. I'm so confused. But now we've got what the format's for Melee Championship 2 in London. They're going to be... What was that? That was Gothic subscribing. Hey, thanks, buddy. Hang on, let me pull up chat. For 17 months. Jam! But okay, so... Melee Championship 2 in London is going to be... modern for the constructed portion, because remember, Mythic Championships are dual format, so it's going to be modern, which is awesome. Now you might ask, why modern? Well, I'll tell you, it's because the limited portion is going to be War of the Spark Draft. Now remember when this is taking place. Clues, when is this taking place?
This is April 26th through 28th, also known as pre-release weekend for War of the Spark.
So, what could possibly be more exciting for the release of a new set from a viewer perspective than watching the pros play with those new cards as soon as possible?
Yeah.
Like, literally, as soon as possible.
Yes.
And I also want to point out that the modern portion will not have War of the Spark legal, because those cards technically are not legal in constructed formats until the following week.
Right. Now, that goes back to why modern, and I think it's because they didn't want to have War of the Spark limited, but then standard without War of the Spark in the same weekend, just because...
That would just be weird.
Yeah, just because, yeah. Again, the viewing experience would be like, how come they're not playing with the new cards? Well, one...
It would be the most high-profile way to end a format, because that's not going to be relevant in a week.
Yes. So, one, that's virtually impossible, just because there's been no time to test anything. Like, the pros that are going to be at the Mythic Championship are going to be testing limited. They don't have time to worry about trying to test a brand new set constructed for that weekend, because they're only going to get, like, a week or two max.
Yeah.
Second, because you don't want to potentially solve the format the week before it becomes legal.
That would be
sometimes
awkward.
Happens.
That would be very awkward.
At Pro Tours. That's why when we had Pro Tour set name, it was always, what, 2 or 3 weeks after the set released? Something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was usually about 3 or so weeks in, because they also wouldn't have any standard GPs until after the Pro Tour happened. Like, that would be the first time we would see WotC running that on that level.
So
you're usually relying on SCG events to even know what the standard looked like going into it.
Exactly. And Magic Online, of course. Or
right.
Arena now, I guess. But
Magic the digital ones.
Yeah, Magic the digital ones. So that's really cool from a viewer perspective. I still really feel for all of the local game shops in and around London. That's gonna suck.
Yep.
But at least they can have Friday pre-releases.
Oh, and they can sell product that weekend.
And they can sell product that weekend.
So those two things.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that's really cool that, like, ignoring all of the local game store side of things, just as the Mythic Championship itself, that's really cool that we get to see War of the Spark Draft that early. Like, that's awesome.
If you're in the world of PR and promotion, this is amazing for you.
Yeah.
Like, you want to see people tune in? Like, that's pretty cool because it's happening, you know, before our pre-releases. So yeah. We can watch. Doing it the weekend of our pre-releases would be a different mess. It would be the stuff that we're running to in London. But, like, we can all tune in and watch this and then go to our pre-release a week later.
What? No, this is during our pre-release.
This is during our pre-release. Yeah, although by time zone, we could get up in the morning, tune into this,
yeah,
then go to our pre-release.
No, you're but right. It's the sales stuff that's different, not the pre-release. Yeah, you're
exactly,
right.
Exactly, yeah.
This is a little over me sometimes. I get it now.
We can watch people on YouTube opening their boxes, but a week before we can open our boxes.
Correct. The pre-releasing is all the same weekend.
You're right. You're correct.
There we go. So, there you go. That's the formats. Now, there's another...
I was going to say, I don't even think that's the most interesting announcement in this announcement, even though that itself was pretty interesting.
That is pretty interesting, but I don't know about interesting. This is more... Well, okay. having War of the Spark draft is a little controversial from the pros' perspectives, because they're like, how are we going to test? Well, I guess you have to use your evaluation
skills.
Get some
Sharpies, buddy. Get some Sharpies.
Yeah. So, the other big news is that in Mythic Championship 2 in London, they're going to try out a new mulligan rule.
And even though we're calling this Mythic Championship 2, not Mythic Championship London, this new rule is named after the city, not the championship. So there you go. Consistency.
Yeah, because we always name them after the city.
We do. From the people who brought you the Vancouver Mulligan comes...
Wait, what the hell's the Vancouver Mulligan?
That was the Scry one, I believe. Or was
Yeah, that was Vancouver, and before that, we were on the Paris Mulligan.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I've always known it as the Paris Mulligan and then the Scry Mulligan. But yeah,
the Scry Mulligan is a better name for it, but they always name it after the event where it debuts.
That is true, yeah. Okay, so now
we've been consistent, just to different rules.
So, the London Mulligan is... So every time you draw... So you draw 7. You don't like it. You put it back. You draw 7. You look
what?
At it. Okay, I'm gonna keep this. You choose one of those 7, put it on the bottom of your library. That is now your opening hand. There's no more scrying.
Right.
Nothing like that. That's it. So now instead of getting less cards to look at and then you get to scry... So, well, okay. Start over. So, let's try it again. Next round, you draw 7. You don't like it. You put them back, shuffle. You draw 7. You don't like it. You put it back, you shuffle. You draw 7. Okay, now I like it. But you mulligan twice. So now I have to take 2 cards from your hand, put them on the bottom. That's your opening hand. Again, no scrying. So yep. With the current mulligan system, every time that you mulligan, you draw 1 less, but then you get to scry that many down, right?
I thought you only scryed once.
Do you only scry once?
I think you only scry once.
That's correct. Yeah, you only... Sorry, yeah. I'm completely an idiot. You only scry once.
Current method, you draw 7 minus N cards, where N is the number of times you mulliganed. And if N is 1 or greater, you scry once. Now,
yes.
The new London Mulligan, which I believe they're only testing it at the Mythic Championship. It's not like this rule is going into effect for everybody at that point.
Correct. Yeah, this is only a test.
They are just testing it.
If they were really changing the mulligan, then you would hear sirens and you would be informed.
Yeah. You always draw 7. Always. Always draw 7.
Yes.
You take N cards, where N is the number of mulligans you've done, and put them on the bottom of your library when you decide to keep.
Yes. So instead of looking at less cards, but being able to scry once to sort of kind of shape your... have a small chance at shaping your next draw, now you're getting more cards to choose from, so it's front-loading the choices.
Yeah.
And... sure, that's a thing.
I think that, like, to go into some of the positives for this over both of the previous systems, I think the fact that you don't have the same situation we did before where it would be like, oops, I drew 7 when I was supposed to draw 6. Now we've got a problem. Now someone calls a judge. Now we have to fix it. That's a mess. Now you draw 7 every time. You don't have to keep track of that. You have to remember how many times you've mulliganed. But the fix is, okay, I drew my 7. You're like, I mulliganed twice. I put 2 in the bottom. That's that. Like, it's cleaner.
Now, it does open up the possibility of putting the wrong number on the bottom of your library. That's a thing that could occur.
Very true.
The good news is we know right where those cards are, right? Because you didn't shuffle them or anything. They're the ones that are on the bottom of your library.
That is also true.
That is easier to fix.
Another key thing is just don't draw 8. Right, 7. Just draw 7. No more.
Drawing 8 was always wrong.
Just draw
That's
7.
True.
That's some Vanguard nonsense.
So, now they're doing this, but before Clues gets into why some people hate it, they're doing this because they're trying to cut down on the number of non-games. You remember the last Pro Tour when LSV made it to, like, before this one, the last Pro Tour? when LSV made it to the top eight, and he ended up mulliganing down to four in one of those rounds. That was very sad. And it wasn't any fun to watch as a spectator. Whether you're pulling, well, if you're pulling against LSV, I guess it was awesome. But, like, that's awful.
That's still a cheapening experience when you're expecting people to play to be the best.
Exactly. So, the hope is that this will cut down on those games that just never get a chance to start due to mulligans. And they said somewhere they've been testing it with standard and limited, and it's glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, the Mythic Championship is limited and modern. And that has some people... Well, it has players who play older formats, non-rotating formats. Some of them are a little hesitant about this. And Clues is going to explain some of the ideas why.
Yes, so allow me to dust off this soapbox that I'm going to stand on, and I'm going to find
Clues,
my cane.
There was never dust on it.
So as to shake said cane. But before I do, I just want to tell one quick mulligan story, if I may. If I may. In fact, from a Eternal format. When I first became involved in Legacy, in my early days in Legacy, I was playing at Sci-Fi Genre, the store that would later become Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It's a great shop. You should check it out. And I only had one Legacy deck, and it was Goblins. It was my first Legacy deck. It's always been my love of a Legacy deck. It's the only deck I had. It's the only deck I played. Everyone in the local group totally knew if they sat down next to me. Yep, he's on Goblins. So I get to a table, and I'm playing against another guy who is well known as a Storm player. And he played Ant. Yeah, it was Ant, not Tess. He played Ant. And I was on the draw. We'd done the dice roll to figure out who was on the draw and the play. He had the choice. He was going to be on the play. So I'm on the draw. I draw my seven. And I'm like, okay, I know he's on Storm. This hand is way too slow. I'm going to die here. Mull. Draw my six. Still not great. Throw it back. Draw my five. I think I had no lands. Throw it back. Draw my four. I think I had like three lands and like a three mana cost creature. And I'm like, screw it. I'm going to three. Draw my three. And I had like land, one drop. And I'm like, we're doing this.
Perfect.
That's the best you can hope for.
And so he goes, okay. And storms off on turn one, just combos off, had all the pieces he need, just like the perfect hand. I'd played him before. He could have just looked me in the eye when I mulled to five and just gone, I've got this. And I would have said, fine, game two. I would have believed. But no, he very calmly just let me mull all the way down to three before crushing all of my hopes and dreams. This might help to eliminate.
I would say the mold of three probably crushed most of your hopes and dreams.
On to this rule, or this new mulligan, and why it is somewhat problematic. Okay, so one thing we need to recognize is that part of what makes Magic magic is variance. Okay, part of what makes the game successful is, in my opinion, although there are others who share this opinion, I think even Mark Rosewater shares this opinion, and I know... Richard Garfield shares this opinion. While it's true that in general, the better player will win more games over the aggregate, in any given game, even if you're the worst player with the worst deck, you still have a chance to win because of variance. So it's an inherent part of the game, and that's a good thing. That being said, most decks attempt to minimize variance as much as possible to make their strategies successful. And this is especially true in the Eternal formats. With a larger card pool, you have a much better chance at sculpting a deck that is relatively insensitive to that variance, but only relatively so. You still have problems now and then. So this change, where you always get seven cards, it tends to iron out even more of the variance. Now, in some situations, that's a good thing, right? So in situations like Limited, your deck is probably suboptimal because it's limited. There's only so much you could do. So getting rid of a little bit of the variance to consistently give everybody at least a fighting chance makes for better games. I absolutely agree. But once you get to the Eternal format, part of what keeps some of the, how can I phrase this without sounding really callous or mean?
I don't think you can.
Some of the stupid combo decks are only held in check because they're extremely risky and hard to get the combo to work. So anything that smooths out variance, while it's true that it helps all decks, I personally believe, and my worry, and I'm not saying the sky is falling, that this is going to kill Magic. That is not what I'm saying at all. I'm still concerned that the more, I'm going to call them abusive combo decks, the kind of you just don't have a chance here combo decks where it's just not a game. It helps them. The degenerate combo decks. It helps them more than any other decks. Now, that being said, in the Eternal formats, there tends to be enough counter magic to keep those in check, so they may not just run roughshod over everything. But still, we have gotten to where we are in formats like Legacy and Modern and, heck, even Vintage. We've gotten there organically. Over a long period of time, the metagame has evolved to be what it is. This change, while not revolutionary, I guess we can argue it's evolutionary. I think it's brushing right up against that revolutionary threshold, that it has the potential, just the potential, mind you, to upset that delicate balance in the Eternal formats. And that's what I'm concerned about. And I think similar concerns have been raised by other players in the Eternal formats. And I think they have a definite point. Now, what I don't want to see, what I definitely don't want to see, because I don't think it's healthy, is to end up with one mulligan type in, say, Limited and Standard, and a different mulligan type in Modern and Legacy and Vintage. I think that would be weird. I don't want that kind of fragmentation. Thank you, Tech Priest, in the chat, who says, you know, WotC has a solution for that, not caring about Legacy or Vintage. Yes, this is true. Demonstrably so, but it still worries me. So that's what I'll say about this particular thing.
I mean, they do still care about Modern.
They do, yeah, for now. Yeah.
One thing to note is that obviously, like, people haven't done this yet, but the release valve on this is probably going to be the tried and true, and because we changed the rules in a way that grossly benefits certain things, you might see some banning and maybe even unbanning, depending, because that's the thing that they do to control older formats. When
that is the safety
something
valve.
Something like that happens. So, I mean, I'm not going to finance and tell you, this card's getting banned, this card's getting unbanned, because I can't know that. But it's not like they'll make this change and then abandon the format to burn. Like, if they were going to do that, they would just give it a Channel Fireball. In terms of what they're going to do here is they'll probably let it run for a little bit, see what happens, and then at the next B&R, maybe make an adjustment. Assuming they adopt this at all, this is still a test. We have to emphasize that.
That being said, I encourage you in your local playgroup to try out this as a way to do things. Just see how it goes.
I think this might be a good alternative for people who currently just do the, you know, mull to seven gentleman style thing, because like that's very common in casual groups.
It is.
Because this is a way to get better at learning, you know, what a good hand is. Like, if you have to pick which are the six best cards in a hand or which are the five best cards in a hand, you will get better at Magic over time. Like, that is a thing that will make you better in a manner that, whether or not they ever ultimately adopt this, if they go back to the old way, well, knowing a good and a bad five will make it easier to determine when you would have to stick with the five in the current rules. Yep. So it's still good practice, and it might make things a little smoother around your commander table or something too.
Yeah. All right. That was a good discussion.
Look at all that talking we did.
Yeah, that was nice. And I got to tell a story. I like stories.
You do.
You do. So now let's go to Twitter real quick. where Mean Velikut Girl tweeted this.
Okay.
And hey, look, yeah, that's funny. It's a link to this here, where...
Right.
This is from August 2015.
Diligent, Sam Stoddard
kicking around some mulligan ideas. And this, right here, the 777 shuffle X back is the closest that is mentioned here, where instead of drawing seven every time and then at the end putting however many cards on the bottom that they're testing in London, you just take that many cards and shuffle them back in. And what they said here was that that was pretty close to the right power level for limited. And then in constructed, it was way too strong in constructed and encouraged big changes in deck building. Perhaps the most notable thing was in modern and eternal formats, where sideboard hate got a lot stronger since you could shuffle extra copies back into your decks. Now, granted, that is different. You're not shuffling them back in.
Yeah.
They're on the bottom. So it's not like you might accidentally draw them quickly.
You'll have to... but at the same time, though, in any format with fetch lands, being on the bottom and shuffled back in is essentially the same thing.
That is true.
Yeah.
But not exactly.
They definitely won't be in your first couple of draws if you don't crack a fetch.
See? Let's see here. Similarly... combo decks got a huge advantage since they could mulligan away possibly useless cards.
Yep.
In one of our biggest rules violations for changing the mulligan rule, it clearly changed the parameters for deck building and would have a profound impact on how older formats played out. So this was 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
But apparently thinking along these lines has changed, or... they think that shuffling cards back in instead of putting them on the bottom made it that much different? I don't know. But this was a good find. But, yeah. Becky...
like, I remember reading this article several years ago because I was curious, but I certainly didn't think about it when they announced the new one.
Yeah, I don't remember when they introduced the Scry Mulligan, but it's listed here, and I think we knew that they were testing it already when this article came out, but I'm not...
I believe that's the case. Like, this wasn't the first time we saw it.
Yeah, I don't think so. Oh, no, this was after the test, so we haven't had time to look at how the Pro Tour played out to see if there were any problems. Ah. Okay, so yeah, this was after the test happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then, cool. But all right, and then I think finally, maybe not finally, I don't know.
Pretty close to finally.
We found this article by Elaine Chase that I think we all completely missed.
Yeah, I just found it because I was skimming over to make sure we didn't miss anything.
Yeah, it came out last Wednesday.
I didn't see this on Twitter or anything. We were all freaking out about everything else.
Yeah, I didn't see this at all. And usually I see stuff like this on social media where someone, you know, comments on it or retweets it or something, but I just missed this one. I don't know how. But it's essentially a big explanation of how things are going to work and this and that and the other. It's mostly stuff that we've seen already and we've reported on already.
Yeah.
Except for, they do say outright that they're going to have less paper magic on the Magic Twitch channel, and they're going to be doing video coverage on Channel Fireball is going to be doing video coverage on select Grand Prix at twitch.tv/channelfireball, which we knew already, but it's the first time that was said on the Wizards website. But right here. These two paragraphs right here are very important. As we build a system, I'm just going to read this. As we build a system that encompasses all aspects of Magic play in tabletop and digital, our guiding principle is to iterate our way to a competitive system that ultimately offers more ways to play and watch for more players than ever before. To accomplish that, we're giving ourselves room to experiment and learn. We know things won't be perfect the first time out. Sometimes it'll be because a better solution is still in development. Other times we'll try something out and learn from it. You ready for the key? In both cases, we want to be able to improve over time, and that means not locking in details until they absolutely need to be finalized. Which is not what we're used to.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Clues is laughing. It's funny because it's true. So, the next paragraph. The result is that over the course of this year, you'll get information later than when you were used to getting it in the past, and likely later than you wanted. Which is what we've all been saying. WotC isn't telling us anything.
Yeah.
And WotC always tells us things, and they're not telling us anything. And that's what led to a bunch of doomsayers and whatever rampant speculation about the end of Paper Magic, blah, 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 nonsense. So, later than when you're used to getting it in the past, and likely later than you want it, but early enough that you'll know what... Hang on. You'll know what you need to do to compete before it's time to do it. Today, we reveal details on how to qualify for the next round of both Tabletop and MTG Arena Mythic Championships, as well as for the World Championship for the 2019 season. As the year goes on, we'll be learning from how things went and evolving to get better. Okay, sure. But the, oh yeah, that's another article that we didn't have in our show notes. Could somebody find that?
Yeah, I'll take a look.
Because that was from the same day as this, the 20th. Oh, wait, it's right here. There's a link right above, in the middle of her article. Okay, cool, we'll get to that in a second.
Hooray.
But, so yeah, like I said, it's this, whoa. It's this right here that is the most important, is rather than locking something in place and saying, all right, this is how we're going to do it, and then sticking with it or having to walk back on it after getting feedback, they're just not telling us in the first place, which is a total change, right?
Yeah, they're usually pretty transparent about these things.
Yeah.
We usually have enough notice that it's not just that we... are like, oh, good, we know this thing's going to happen. It's we know 6 to 12 months out it's going to happen and can plan accordingly.
And it also gives time for, like, community members and the players and whatnot to think about it, test things out, give feedback, and talk it out. Whereas if they're going to wait until the last feasible minute to tell us things...
Yeah.
Hopefully that means because they're giving information to others... and working it out behind closed doors. But again, we don't get that transparency.
Yeah, we're not going to know whether or not something is a mistake or intended.
Exactly. So that's some cause for alarm?
I think what it is them kind of getting rid of the pass we sort of gave them in the past where it was... Well, they're obviously planning everything ahead. They're the future league people. They're the, you know, make all the announcements for the entire year on one date, and there's not a whole lot of week-to-week news because everything's already been decided, and they'll make adjustments if they need to make adjustments. Like, we had that, but we had a great deal of confidence that the trains were going to run on time. Now they're telling us the trains will get there. Not going to say they're going to get there when they're supposed to show up, but you will have enough time to jump on that train as it rushes through the station. And that's not great for us, but it's in some ways it's more honest. Like, it's transparent to just tell us we only kind of know what we're doing right now, as opposed to not saying anything at all. And then us being like, so when's that pre-release happening? You know, a month and a half out. I don't know. Like, I feel it's unfortunate because I put so much effort over the years in being transparent and they built up a very solid reputation that I had a lot of confidence in for just telling us when we need to know things. And then this is them pretty much saying, we can't live up to that anymore, so bear with us. And that's never really a good message to give, but here we are.
But here we are.
Yeah, like, they're being honest about it, so that's something. They could be lying about it, but when your message is, we're not going to have as many messages for you because we don't know, it doesn't exactly make you go, oh man, stocks. Like, you just sort of sit back and hope that you get the news in time and that you're not going to be in a situation of, well, I really wanted to go to that event, but they announced it a month and a half out and I haven't taken off from work and whatnot. Like, it gets messier. Like, presumably we'll still have enough notice from what they're saying, but that is a very vague description of enough time. Some people need more time than others to participate in events or to, you know, plan trips and things like that. So we'll see. That's all we can do.
Yeah. Now, the cynical side of me looks at this and goes, they saw all the negativity from not giving us information and wrote this up as an excuse, which is also possible.
I mean, I think that from their standpoint, if we were going to continue to just sort of roll with what they're doing, there's no way they'd draw attention to it. But because the Magic community, by and large, is looking for signs of weakness at every second so that they can be the one who called the end of Magic, they're never really going to get that. And this is kind of an acknowledgement that if everyone's looking to be the one who catches them off guard, it's way better just to announce that you're off guard and lower expectations accordingly.
It's true. So in response to this, I saw this today from Joey Pasco, and it made me very happy. The NFL is working with television networks to show select regular season games, but now there are more ways to watch than ever. Just go to Twitch and watch random people stream Madden. That's basically Wizards' latest stance on MTG coverage, and he's not wrong.
No, it's a pretty accurate description.
Because if you replace NFL with MTG, television networks with Channel Fireball, and regular season games with GPs, it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So, And while I still think that the freakout over the lack of coverage is slightly overblown, like, because Wizards is stepping away from coverage. Now, the bad part is, I think Wizards decided to step away from coverage without telling Channel Fireball or anyone else, because that's where...
I'm pretty confident that happened.
Yeah, that's where Channel Fireball went. Oh, crap. We can...
Quick, we'll make a web page out of our basic template. And /1/2/3. We got this.
Can we do coverage? Text coverage, maybe? Okay.
Will there be someone there with a phone?
Yeah, okay. Give me a few days and I'll write something up and we can announce it. And then they announced it. Yeah, we're going to have text coverage. Yay. And it's mostly
just on the
Twitter
feed. We got it.
Yeah. So, like, clearly that's some... And their website is just... It's not good, you guys. It's clearly thrown together in a hurry.
Yeah. And before it looks too mean, we are not at all digging at Channel Fireball for this.
No.
It's very clear what happened.
Yeah, clearly they weren't prepared.
They're doing amazing with what they've got here. So I'm very impressed by that.
But their announcement about video coverage is we're working with, I think it was something like we're working with Channel Fire, but with Wizards of the Coast to like get equipment and whatnot. Like this is totally, Wizards was like, we're out. And Channel Fireball went, what? So...
Well, this would be like if you were to have a chef and you bring them into the kitchen and they're there just to, you know, check out the equipment and like maybe they want to work there. And then immediately they're handed an apron and a knife and a pack of Oreos and said they have to feed 600. And it's like, what? Wait, what am I going to use this knife and the Oreos for? 600? Okay, how many are in this pack? All right, does anyone have a phone? We might need to buy more Oreos. Like, that's what
or
happened
more
to
knives.
Them. Yeah. But communication has been a problem. They're acknowledging it's a problem. They're not saying it's going to get better right now, which is unfortunate, but...
But at least they said that.
Yeah, that is worth something. Yeah. There's more value to being informed that there are problems than there is in pretending there are not problems.
Although they didn't say there are problems. You have to infer that pretty heavily.
Yes. Like, I may be giving them even more credit, but just when she uses language like, likely later than you want, or enough that you'll know, she's establishing that these are not great.
Yeah, like, not locking in details until they absolutely need to be finalized.
Yeah. That's the kind of language you use at work when you're trying to have an email to pull up in 6 months when someone's mad at you. Like, that's the way that that works.
Yeah, so that's a thing.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, somehow this escaped our notice. We have this, how to become the next Magic champion, qualifying for Mythic Championships and Worlds. And we're not going to go into heavy detail on this.
No.
But, because if you want to know, here it is. But we have ways to qualify for Mythic Championships in not paper, what do we call it? Tabletop and an arena. Like, here we go. Up to 500 players. Magic Pro League, Pro Players Club, and prior performance. Magic Online Championships and Mythic Championship qualifiers. WPN Mythic Championship qualifiers, which they're still working on. And Magic Fest, Grand Prix, and Mythic Championship qualifiers. So GPs and MCQs at Magic Fest. Boom. Those are all ways to get to the tabletop championships. And then the arena championships are going to be 52 players. The Magic Pro League is in prior performance invites. And then arena itself and the Mythic Championship qualifier weekend, which you get into that by being one of the top 1,000 Mythic Ranked Challengers. If you finish in the top 1,000 in Arena, then you'll get an invite to the Mythic Championship qualifier stuff. Which is way better than finishing in the top 8.
Yeah.
Finishing in the top 1,000, while still difficult, is not ridiculously so. So that's good. But again, there's just a crap load of information here. So if you want to know how to get to a Mythic Championship, formerly Pro Tour, if you want to know how to get to a Pro Tour, just for those of you that it still hasn't sunk in, don't feel bad. I still get confused. That's how you do it. This is also the article where people were control effing the word Mythic and then tweeting about how dumb that is, because apparently those people don't understand how rebranding works.
Yeah.
So if you saw big rabble-rousing content creators and whatnot on Twitter going, oh my god, it said Mythic like 80,000 times, ignore those people. They're just looking for crap to complain about.
Yeah, there are enough real problems in the world. You don't have to invent new ones.
Like, if this didn't have the word Mythic that many times and instead had MPL and MCQ and MPs and all of that, you would be like, I don't know what they're talking about! So there's no winning.
No. Although, I will note that when I scroll down on this one under Mythic Championship Qualification, I can see Mythic Championship 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7
throughout the year. Yeah, because there are three in that are going to be Arena. Where is that? Yeah, here it is. So, yeah, we've got Cleveland, then we've got London. Then the first Arena thing is to be announced in June and July. Then Barcelona. Right. Then the next arena one is in August or September sometime. And then in Richmond. And then the last one is the last arena one is November, December, TBA.
Right. So if you are one of those people counting the word Mythic, well, it's going to appear 7 times when you're listing 7 events that have Mythic in them. So get used to it. It's written multiple times for a reason. But yeah, good times. Go read this if it matters to you. Otherwise, sit back with the rest of us.
Yeah. This little infographic right here is the bare bones. So there you go. Look at that. That's the big hits of what you need to know. All the details are...
Ask if there's similarity to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Except without the lights. Do-do-do-do-do. You know, we don't have...
Oh, I hadn't hit the play button. It could still be there.
Fair enough. Hey, Clues, you all right?
I'm totally cool, yeah.
All right.
Everything's fine over here. I might be zoning out slightly, but it's not.
It's
you.
Fine. It's we're at the end of the news.
We are, yeah. I think we're done. Are we done?
I think we are.
Oh, hey, you already added this to the show notes. Good job.
Yes.
All right. So I think we're done.
Cool.
There was a lot of... There weren't that many items in our show notes, but all of them were fairly dense, so...
Yeah.
But now we're done.
Yep, that's all we're going to hit today. I will start the sign-out then. So you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no I in Goblin because, I mean, let's be real. The I's not here when I wanted it to be here, but it will be here by the time I absolutely need it. So if you just sit back and wait, at some point the I will show up. It'll be fine. That said, the rest of me have caught a lot of movies lately. I've been enjoying most all of them. I finally did get to see Alita Battle Angel as they're running it. And I enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was definitely one of the best adaptations of a manga I've seen. They made differences that made it better. So I can appreciate that. The CG was fine. Like, the eyes were not a big deal at all. Like, it's cool. The fight scene's really awesome. And I'm hoping that it does well enough, both local and abroad, that Cameron can adapt more of the story, because this one covers roughly the content of like 2.5 volumes of like the initial like 9 book story. So that's fine. Also, I saw the third How to Train Your Dragon movie with a friend who was super into it, and it was a lot of fun. I appreciate that. That's a trilogy of movies that I wasn't really going to give a lot of attention, but I saw the first two with friends, and when the new one came out, I saw that one, and it's one of those rare trilogies where all three movies feel very different, but it all still feels very coherent and good. So I enjoyed that too. Plus
that
dragons.
Really, just the third?
Yeah, there are three movies and a TV show.
Really?
But yeah, yep, just three, and they're all good. All three of them were really good. So
there's got to be more somewhere.
Maybe you're thinking of all of the other dragon-based stuff that's come out.
Maybe.
But I know there were three movies and a TV show.
Franchise. Aha. Uh-huh.
And there's probably like a video game or something.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, television series, yeah, short films.
Oh, they might have done shorts. Like, I know that there's a short film that they did leading into this one just for funsies. It's like a 2-minute thing on YouTube where they got Kit Harington, the guy who plays Jon Snow in Game of Thrones, to do a bunch of his lines from Game of Thrones but with Toothless the Dragon instead, and it's just cute and fun. So they know how to promote. It's very cute. I enjoyed that. But yeah, all the movies are great. I enjoyed all three of those, and as noted at the start of the show, I'm glad that End of the Spider-Verse won some stuff last night. I'm glad that Black Panther won some stuff. I still think the Oscars are a giant pile of pretension, but I'm glad that a few of the movies that I like got the praise that they deserve. So that's awesome.
Oh, here we go. These shorts are 16 minutes, 18 minutes, 22 minutes, and 25 minutes.
I don't think I've seen any of those.
So apparently that's, like, they're lodged in my head as other entries. Because I've seen the first one and I really liked it, but I never bothered to catch any of the others.
The second and third one are both amazing, too. So I think you'll enjoy them if you get a chance to watch them. They're all very good, and they all grew very well. So I like that.
Cool.
And other than that, like, yeah, Captain Marvel comes out next week. So even more movies to consume. Huh. That'll be great. So looking forward to all that. It'll be awesome. And then in a month, I'm going to disappear off to Japan for a few weeks. So I will not be on the show here, but I will do what I can to at least have an internet connection so that we'll find out what happens if I'm gone for a few weeks. Like, when Clues leaves, we get stuff in Legacy. I'm not affiliated with the format, so I'm kind of hoping that while I'm gone, they decide that Limited is no longer profitable and they just stop selling packs.
When Squee leaves, we get nothing but eyes.
Oh, nothing but, yeah, it'll be Evil Eye of Orbsbegor. Yeah. You're going to have the Eye Guy from Power Rangers Season 1.
Jar of
Eye. All over the place.
I love that guy. I was actually going to ask, is your eye going to Japan as well?
I mean, I can't state when it's going to go to Japan. But I'll let you know as it gets more pressing. We'll see. But I am kind of tempted to bring Fibblethip and just put him in random places because it's such a tall city. It's going to depend on how much I want to lug versus how much space I want to have to lug things back. I'm not planning on doing a ton of shopping, but I also know that if I see something sufficiently weird, I'm probably going to want to buy it. So we'll see what happens. It was brought to my attention that one section of the Disney by the Sea park there is based on America, which gets my attention because I know it's like Americana, like 19 something style America, not like present America, but the idea of going to a Japanese theme park about America does have a certain appeal to go by the gift shop. So we'll see. But I don't know. I'm kind of expecting to walk in and it just be cowboys and laser tag, but I'll look up a little bit more on that as I get closer to my trip. But anyway,
and this is where, as while walking along, Bill points and goes, "Oh my God, look, there's the modern day America." And someone goes, no, someone just set that trash can on fire.
Yes, it's Walter. How you doing, buddy?
He's like, same thing, right?
I'll just walk around and pretend I'm a cast member so that people will take pictures with me and then get kicked out. Great.
Howdy, y'all.
Shucks, howdy, everybody. Watashiwa America Jin Dayo. Honto no ima America. Just use even worse Japanese than my normal Japanese. It'll be great.
All right.
Yeah, I'll move on to clues now. Yeah, I've wasted enough
clues.
Time.
Why don't you go?
Go get them, clues.
All right. I have nothing so exciting. I'm going to just continue to go to work and teach classes. It'll be exciting?
I hope
question
so.
Question mark? It'll be chock full of physics, that's for sure. If you want to reach me, your best bet is on the Twitters. I am at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes, which are a thing again. So you can go check those and get links to a lot of the stuff we talked about this week. That's pretty much it for me. I have done nothing exciting. And I'm not doing anything exciting. Yes, over to you, Chewy.
Well, since it's usually you who does the exciting things, I guess it's a fair trade-off.
You save some for the rest of us.
That's right.
Yeah, because you usually go, like, where did he go skydiving? I forgot.
The bottom of the ocean with the Lord of Atlantis.
Now you were scuba diving in something and somehow it got turned into skydiving and something similar.
Skydiving in something, yes.
But yeah. I don't remember where. But anyway, so yeah, Chewy's
involved.
I'm Chewy.
And you are.
I stream things occasionally here on twitch.tv/themanapool. I stream Monday Night Magic here. If you're here currently watching, you know this.
Checks out.
Yeah, it's weird how that works. I also streamed the Manapool here on Thursdays. Last week we did another RPG episode where somebody, I'm not saying who because I want you to go listen to the episode, got mauled by a panther out of nowhere.
This is the worst.
It was. Because reasons. Because Brian really is not coddling us at all. Because, yes, somebody, one of us got mauled and then later almost got mauled again. So that's a thing. But also, you'll find out who it is that you want rolling your d20s for you. And also, d6s are evil. They were evil to all of us. That
has always been true.
Yeah, I don't know why, but all of us were like, oh god!
Six sides of betrayal.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was fun. This week, I don't know what we're going to do yet, because we usually figure that out on Tuesday, so.
Stay tuned.
So that's,
You're not going to know what it's going to be now, but you'll know in time for it to matter.
Hopefully, we'll know in time for it to matter.
Hopefully, you'll find out in time to prepare.
Other stuff that goes on here on Twitch, I've streamed some Smash Brothers, the World of Light mode. I've streamed some Super Mario Odyssey, because hey, I don't hate Nintendo, so I can play their games again. Yes.
Yay, hats.
Oh, Mario. I was like, What?
Yeah.
I'll be okay. And what else? What else did I stream here recently? Super Metroid a little while ago. Oh yeah, I did the Hearthstone Tavern Brawl. Did some Hand of Fate. Yeah.
Monos.
I'm just streaming lots of stuff here lately. With more to come. And then over on over on youtube.com/themanapool, I drop back to one video a day so I can get caught up on the odds and ends, which I've fallen way far behind on. But I've put up, I think, 6 over the last week. Yeah, 6. 6 sounds right. I think I did 4 the first day and 2 the second. And I've got 6 that are ready to be listened through. Yeah, because I did all the prep work on all of those a couple nights ago. So yeah, got 6 that are ready to be listened through. I just have to find the time to do it, which will start tomorrow. Hey, but that's that. The odds and ends is a Patreon thing. I'll get to that in a second. But over on YouTube, like I said, I've dropped back to one video a day just to get caught up on the rest of life. I went to the grocery store today. It was awesome.
Is I bought food.
Food.
Oh, dude, you should totally have that.
I know. But yeah, that one video a day here for the last little while has been the World of Light mode in Smash Brothers, a Slay the Spire run in that was named the Thick, THICC, Thick Silent Run, that was incredibly stressful and highly entertaining. So that's a 3-part series I highly recommend you check out. And then some Hearthstone. More Hearthstone and World of Light will be coming in the next few days. So, awesome. Including Accidental Smork Mage. Take from that what you will.
Stuff.
Clues, I think you would like the Accidental Smork Mage.
I have no idea what that is.
So, Smork.
Now you have to watch it.
Smork comes from, hey Clues, look at the Twitch chat.
Standby.
That was the wrong button. Smork comes from this little guy right here.
There's a lag, so I don't get it yet.
Yeah, so that is the SM Orc emote. But for some reason, Smork has become synonymous with go face! Attack the face! Face, which is why I think you would like it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But anyway.
All right.
Space Marine.
Fair.
And I was playing a deck that was accidentally smorking, whether I wanted it to or not. So that was fun. But yeah. So that video will go up soon. And I've got, I think, 3 more Hearthstone videos to come in the next week or so. And then more Smash Brothers. And some Slay the Spire. Yeah. Not Slay the Spire. The other one. Hand of Fate. Slay the Spire. I gotta erase that from my board because it still says it's up there. I gotta fix that. But anyway. So yeah, all of this is what's going on in the content creation side of things. Once I get caught up on life and the odds and ends, then I will go back to 2 videos a day, hopefully. So yeah. But if you want to help support what I do with this insane amount of content creation and whatnot, then the best way to do that is on patreon.com/themanapool, where you can become a Manapool lifeguard. Being a lifeguard, there are various tiers of lifeguards, and being a lifeguard has perks depending on which tier. The uncommon lifeguards get early access to Manapool episodes and YouTube videos. Not Monday Night Magic, because that's kind of timely and no.
It's really hard to get that to you guys before we do it.
Not as hard as you'd think, but still. Because it's news-based. You know, I don't want to delay it a day. That's silly. Yeah. So, sorry, you don't get that early. But you do get all the Manapool episodes, except for preview episodes, which we don't apparently get previews anymore, so no worries about that. And all the YouTube videos. You get all that stuff early. the rare lifeguards get the early stuff and access to the odds and ends that I've been talking about before, which is all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Mana Pool that is then censored and unfiltered and generally unsafe for consumption, and yet put it out there anyway. That's where you see what Clues is doing right now. Once we stop recording, he will explain that. See, so you'll get to hear all that. You all right, buddy?
I'm going to explain what now?
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Never break character.
And the Mythic Lifeguards get the early stuff, the odds and ends, and the sponsorship shout-out on both podcasts and on the end screen for all the YouTube videos that go up each month. And, of course, each tier gets the appropriate colored name in the official Mana Pool Discord server. So silver, gold, and mythic orange. Aw, yeah. So, our Mythic Lifeguards, thank you very much. You are Kim Ho, Al, Paul David, Lands Delicious, Team U Hell Is Har You, Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Alex Gonzalez, Jeff Spencer, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Sophia Bertain. My eye. Hang on.
No dying.
It's an eyelash. Why is it when I get to the odds and ends, when I have to, like, focus on names, this always happens? There we go. Did I say? I said Sophia Bertain. Casey! Fayan Says! Danny Liao! Jason Doan! Cody Buckowing! Jake Jansons! Jason Kaus! Gothic Man! Brian DeLucci! Stark Maximum! Keith Moody! John Parker! Aleph Cat! Dan Holm! Bartle! Mike Millerburn! And the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. Thank you all so very much for your support, and thanks to all of the lifeguards, no matter what tier. I quite literally could not do this without you, because I'm still not big enough to make money money to live on Twitch and YouTube just yet. Not even close. So that is it for whatever episode of Monday Night Magic this is. 642. Yeah. And I guess we're done. So, thank you all so very much for watching, or listening, or whatever. And, go play some Magic.